Man, thank you. Thank you, Mail Corps. Thank you, Garland. Put it all in God's hands. Amen? Amen. Has God been good to you? Yes. Has He blessed you? Look at somebody. Tell them, I'm glad to be in the service. One more time. Look at somebody else. Tell them, I'm glad to be in the service. One more time. Oh, I'm glad to be in the service. Glad to be in the service. Glad to be in the service. One more time. Oh, He didn't have to let me live. Didn't have to let me live. Oh, I'm glad to be in the service. One more time. Are you glad today? I'm glad to be in the service. Glad to be in the service. Glad to be in the service. One more time. Didn't have to let me live. Didn't have to let me live. Oh, I'm glad to be in the service. I'm glad to be in the service. Yes, I'm glad to be in the service. One more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm glad. God, and we're saying, I'm glad to be in the service where I can praise and honor God for all that He's done. We want to talk about today living in God's neighborhood. Living in God's neighborhood. As we invite you to the scripture, Luke chapter 10, we shared this a couple of weeks ago. You know, and like Charlene, a lot of us have moved in life. You went to a different neighborhood. Didn't know what you were going to find, but you moved there either for employment reasons or other reasons. You moved to a new neighborhood. And I want to tell you right now, the house you're living in is just temporary. Your last house is going to be about a 3x6. Amen. You won't be able to change clothes. You won't even be able to go to the bathroom in your last house. But thank God there's a new home over in glory. Oh, don't let me start preaching. I haven't even took my text yet. But there's a new home for every believer, and that's why we preach the gospel. But I want to invite you as we look at these scriptures today, and we're talking about discovering the riches of relationships. Verse 30 of chapter 10 of Luke reads this way. And Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothes and wounded him and left him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Which now of these three do you think was a neighbor to him that fell among thieves? Verse 37, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and you do likewise. Look at somebody and ask the question, who is my neighbor? You may be seated. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I pray that you'd bless, Lord, and that you would bring to mind the things that I've prepared for in studying, but most of all, you be glorified. Let the Spirit of God move today, that, Father, your name would be honored and that people would realize everything belongs to you. This world and everyone in it belongs to you. Give us clarity of mind, clarity of thought, that we might receive the engrafted word that is able to save our souls. We pray in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. For many of us, people want to avoid bad neighborhoods. As a matter of fact, when I mention the fact bad neighborhoods, that already conjures thought in your mind, well, that's a bad one, and that's a bad one. Everybody wants to move what we call to the good neighborhood, the one that is safe, friendly, and prosperous. We want to be around people that's like us. And yet, we find that throughout our land, there are poor neighborhoods. Not by choice. Many of them fell into that because of the system that we have in this world. Many of them are there because they're struggling. And I want to tell you today, there are a lot of people that as soon as they can, they want to get out of the hood. Are y'all going to pray with me? There are gangs in the hood. There's immorality in the hood. There's gambling and all types of things that we wouldn't ordinarily want to have in our lives. So the thought that we carry in our mind is that no one could live in a bad neighborhood. As a matter of fact, that statement was made concerning Jesus when Nathanael heard that he came out of Galilee. He said, can anything good come out of Galilee? Can anything good come out of James Crossing? Y'all quiet on me. Can anything good come out of Scottsburg? Well, I want to tell you something. The condition of the neighborhood is not determined by the age of the home, but by the character of the people. There are some good people who happen to live in a place that may not be too cordial, but it's the place that they call home. Now, what Jesus is trying to remind us of is that you cannot go about being a good neighbor if you're going to pick your neighborhood. Y'all didn't hear me. In other words, I'm only going to help folk that look like me. I'm only going to pick and choose who I consider worthy of my service. And so this man that Jesus was speaking the parable to, he wanted clarity. He wanted to understand, well, Lord, if I'm going to love my neighbor as myself, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm glad that you brought it up. I want to tell you who your neighbor is. Are y'all still listening? I'm afraid that the Western culture has wrongly described good neighborhoods by the financial statements. This culture has fallen into the myth that riches in defining what it means to live in a good neighborhood. And as a result, we've written off people that are less fortunate. And that's very pathetic. Yeah. Amen, somebody. Yeah. I want to tell you something. I lived in some neighborhoods that I was glad to get there because I had a roof over my head. Yeah. Can I talk to somebody? Yeah. I'm not ashamed to tell you that, yeah, I lived in the trailer park. Yeah. I know y'all looking at me sideways, but I'm so thankful that the Lord put a roof over my head in the trailer park. Met a lot of good folk in the trailer park. Amen. Now, you may have had to live in the projects, but there's a lot of good folk in the project. Amen. Come on, somebody. Y'all talk to me. Don't get bigoty on me. Don't get highfalutin on me. Yeah. If you had to live in Section 8, thank God, use it for the advantage. Yeah, I know a lot of folk play. I ain't going that neighborhood. You don't know where God's going to send you. We used to call ourselves missionary Baptists. Are y'all still in the building? And as a missionary Baptist, that means that you would go where the Lord would send you. But what we've done now, we dropped the missionary. We just call ourselves Baptists. Are y'all going to let me preach up in here? That means we pick and choose who we help and where we go to. In this description that Jesus gives of the neighborhood, he is not using economically defined places. He's using, number one, need. Where am I needed? Where am I needed? But the second thing that he uses, I want to bring out today, that trials and troubles can strike at any time and anywhere. Conditions could change, and the very surroundings where you are right now would overnight put you in a bad neighborhood. Are y'all listening? Folks in Ukraine were doing fine. They were having a nice time, and all of a sudden, the Russians came in. Putin-led forces came in and made it overnight a bad neighborhood. Who's to say that tomorrow the bombs won't be dropping over your head? Who's to say that COVID wouldn't strike or the plant shuts down and conditions change, and now you who lived in a fine home are now finding yourself trying to hold on to dear life. You don't know where you will end up. That's why you ought to sing that old spiritual, "Let Jesus lead you." Can I preach to somebody? Let Jesus lead you all the way. We need him every day and every hour. So a place where we call the neighborhood, and I want to invite you for a few minutes to let's visit God's neighborhood. What does it mean to live in God's neighborhood? Three things that I'll be using today as our example. One, it is a place where people need each other. A place where people need each other. Second thing we want to talk about is that trials and triumphs also can happen in that place. If the trials take place, we help one another. If the triumphs or the victories take place, we cheer on one another. But then lastly, I want to use as a description, God's neighborhood is a place where God is needed. I don't want to live in a place where there is no God. I'd rather live in a shack with Jesus than to live in a mansion in a palace without him. Can I talk to somebody? Because what I've learned is that when you got God, you got a good neighbor. Look at somebody and say, "I got God. I got a good neighbor." Yeah, yeah. State Farm is making a lot of money. They're making a lot of money. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But if you read your policy, help me out now. I won't go preach this in my sermon, but I'm going to say it to somebody. If you read your policy, State Farm ain't going to be there. Certain things, if you don't have in your disclosure, if you don't have it in there, State Farm will tell you that ain't covered. But if you got Jesus, Lord, help me preach. Even when you don't know how you're going to make it, Jesus has got your back. Like a good neighbor, Jesus is there. Can I get it? Let's just take a praise break and give him thanks, because we know that we never would have made it without the Lord. Here it is, Jesus teaching this valuable lesson on what it means to be a good neighbor. And the reason why I'm inviting you into the scripture is that you used to be, one day you were, a good neighbor. But then, like this man who's asking the question, now you picking and choosing the folks that you want to associate with. Did I step on your... I'm sorry. I apologize. But Jesus is saying, expand your neighborhood. I look at my own life. I've even made the statement, man, I don't want to live over there. Now the very trailer park that I came out of. Man, I don't want to live there. Well, what's wrong with there? Three people traveled the road called Jericho Road. How do you get there? The first step to getting to Jericho Road is that you need to have a destination in mind. Every one of them had a destination in mind. And that destination happened to send them through Jericho. And you don't know for what reason or for what purpose God will put you on Jericho Road so that you can give a testimony. Fred Rogers, for many years, was on public television with this program called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. 33 years, 1968 to 2001, they published this, and it would come out, "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Could you be mine?" Remember that? So here comes the priest. "It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day." And all of a sudden, he runs across this wounded man. He's got in his mind what he needs to do, but it's not in his heart. Are y'all listening? So he passes by on the other side. In other words, "I'm too busy to be your neighbor." Jesus will later on ask the question, which of the three? So here's one. He knows what it's like to be in God's neighborhood because he's a priest. He's read the Psalm 24 that says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. But yet he runs across this man who is half dead, and he says to himself, "You ain't in my neighborhood, and you ain't my neighbor." Did y'all get that? It's in the verse. It's in the scripture. He missed an opportunity for God to use him in a neighborly way. He went on about his way, but without God's blessing. So here comes the Levite. "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day." And all of a sudden, he too sees this wounded man. Unlike the priest, he goes over. "Hey, dude, what's up?" Now, said the scripture said the man was half dead, wasn't whole dead. Now, if he was whole dead, you put a sheet on him and keep on about your business. But if he's half dead, don't just look at me. Help me. He goes over. I don't know what was going through his mind. He certainly took the time to go over. Was he nosy? Probably. If you have an accident on 29, 50 folk gonna stop. They're not going to stop to help you. They're going to stop to look. Who that? And then they get into their car and they're going about their way. "I don't know them." Okay, going about their way. He missed an opportunity to be a good neighbor. Could have, should have, and perhaps even would have. But he didn't know that he was living in God's neighborhood. So here comes the Samaritan. "It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine?" And he sees the wounded man. Something happens to him. The Bible said his heart filled up with compassion. Do you know what compassion is? Compassion is a powerful thing. Compassion is not rooted in the nature of man. It's rooted in the power of God. Jesus had compassion on the multitude, and so he fed them. You see, compassion is not something that is resident with us until God gets ready to move us. You ever had folk that you really, really loved and you just didn't leave them alone because your compassion? Some of us got children not doing what we want. We can't let them go. I remember one time I asked God in prayer, Lord, how do you give up on children? Lord said, you don't give up on them. You keep applying grace. Now, they can walk away from it, but at least they will know that you acted. Listen to this, church folk. You cannot have compassion without doing something. No way. Don't say I love everybody unless you are in a position, at least by God, to move and try to help them. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Got to have action with it. Got to have action with it. All right, for the third time. Was it the third time? Third time. Ask somebody, who is my neighbor? Listen to this. Compassion is the first resource that God gives when he wants you to respond to a need. Compassion is the first resource that God gives you when he wants you to respond to a need. And the Bible said that that Samaritan had compassion. But go back and look at the commandment that the man, the scribe, had quoted to Jesus. He said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Underline the word yourself. You know what that Samaritan was probably thinking? And what moves you to compassion a lot of times? Lord, that could have been me. And then you think about sometime the crazy stuff that you did in your life, and you say to yourself, Lord, that should have been me. Moved with compassion. So like a good neighbor, he goes over and he assesses the situation. I want you to just look at it for just a little bit. First, he does the emergency care. You know, don't try to tell me you're going to put me in a class if I'm hungry. I can't sit in your classroom and learn anything if my stomach is growling and talking more than the words you're trying to say to me. Are y'all in the house? Nor did the Samaritan do with what many of us do because we got a few extra dollars, what we'll say to ourselves, let me just give you a donation. Let me just put that in the offering plate. Here's a couple of dollars. Here you go. Here you go. The man needed somebody to help him get up. And what is God saying to us, you and I, if we're going to be a good neighbor in God's neighborhood, we got to help somebody get up. I know you ain't going to leave that money there, yo. I know y'all looking at it. He going to leave. No, not Colton, no. When you have compassion, not only does it move us to action, but it moves us to assess what is going on so that we can help somebody. One of the things that physicians have, they have this first rule of physician, and that is do no harm. Have you ever heard a doctor say that? He said, the first thing we don't want to do is to harm you. But how many of y'all been to a couple of them and they, man, that wasn't good. That's another sermon for another time. All right, so as we look at this, he looks at the situation. He said, this man needs to be bandaged up. Stop the bleeding. Stop the hurting. Try to stop the hemorrhaging. All over our land, people are bleeding and hurting. And when they look for God's people who have the resources of God to help them, God's people say, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help. That ain't in my neighborhood. It is in your neighborhood. If God shows it to you, it's in your neighborhood. So what we've got to do, we've got to roll up our sleeves. And we got to say, God, I don't know how much I can do, but I'm willing to sacrifice. There cannot be any giving unless there is sacrifice. If you're not willing to sacrifice, then you're not willing to give. Only thing you want to do is throw in a couple of dollars and hope that helps. That way you get to walk away, continue to sing your song, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. But it can't be so beautiful unless we help as many people as we can to get up. Our job as the mighty body of Christ is to help people get up. And sometimes you're going to stumble yourself. trying to help them to get up. But that's all right. You'll know that you were used by God to bless somebody else. Will you say that with me? I'm used by God to bless somebody else. I'm getting ready to close, so don't shut me out. Don't shut me out. Don't shut me out. Going back to this thing, loving your neighbor as yourself. When you put yourself into that person's position, you have something added called empathy. Sympathy says, I see you, I see you're hurting, but I really can't relate to it. Empathy says, I've been there, and I know what you are going through. Some of the best people who are equipped to help others are those who have been broken themselves. Just by a show of hands, how many of you all have been broken yourself? But then when you saw somebody else, you couldn't do a whole lot, but you did what you could. That's what I'm talking about. That's when you are becoming a good neighbor. That's when you're saying, Lord, use me for your service. First point that I brought out today is the fact that there are needs around us. That's the first point. There are needs all around us. But the second point is that people go through trials and tribulations. We all do. We all do. But guess what? If we band together, if we begin to lock arms together, as the old folks used to say, if we walk together, when that one stumbles, we can help get them back up. Ah, but here's something that I've noticed about us. When one person falls down, the others back up. Man, I hope I don't get what you got. You got COVID. I ain't messing with you. COVID has messed with your charitable mind. COVID has messed you up. Now you don't want to help folk, and yet you were the one that received help yourself. Can I talk to somebody in the house? Oh, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Could you be that neighbor? The last point I want to bring out, not only do we all face our troubles and we meet and run across people in need, but the last point that I want to bring out is that God himself is in the hood. God himself walks through those places of need. God himself. Look at Jesus when he came to this world. He would see blinded eyes and say, that's not right. That's not the way my father made. He would heal the blind. People that couldn't walk, Jesus would go over and say, wait a minute, you ain't walking? Come here. Come here. Get some strength from God. Get some power from God. Jesus did miracles. And I believe that the miracles that we can do as his servants are yet to be discovered. God can do some mighty things in your life if you would just go to Jericho. Well, Lord, I don't know where you want to use me. I don't know how. Go to Jericho. Quit standing around with your hands in your pocket. Go down to Jericho. Now, how do you get to Jericho? Put it into your God positioning system, and what God's positioning system will tell you, get off Easy Street. And when you get off Easy Street, go to the corner of service and good attitude. Are y'all listening in here? And now, why do I need service and good attitude? Because some people will give service, but they don't have the good attitude. I don't want nobody trying to help me if I'm that man that's falling on the road to Jericho. I don't need you looking at you. You should have known going down to Jericho was a bad place. I don't need you lecturing me. I need you to help me. Look at somebody and say, I don't need you. No. I'm getting ready to get y'all in trouble. People didn't ask for a lecture. The people who's crying out that are on drugs just need somebody to talk to, they don't need you to lecture them and tell them, you knew that crack was bad for you anyway. They just need you to, Lord, I wish I could preach to somebody in here. People that's got a gambling problem, they don't need you to say, well, you knew you took no money playing that number. It won't go work no way. And to give you an idea of what the society is that we're living in, anytime you have state-sponsored gambling, you know, it's a mess. It's a mess. But yet God has called us to work miracles in a mess. God has invited you to go down to Jericho. And I'm going to tell you, you'll know that you're on Jericho Road when that compassion begins to well up in your heart, when you're on a place called Love's Way. Can I talk to somebody? When you get on Love's Way, when you begin to get on board, that's when God can use you. And I told you before that the Lord said he would be with us in that journey that we have. He would be with us on that way to the Jericho Road. But you got to realize that he walks with you. Can I tell you today? He talks with you and he tells you that you are his own. God didn't just invite you into here for you to lift your hand. Ah, hallelujah. God is good. The Lord is gracious. God also wants you to go out into the community. Roll up your sleeves and say, Lord, use me for your glory. And I'm preaching to somebody. I know I'm getting on your nerves, so I'm going to get ready to close here. He wants us to be his ambassadors. That's why he'll send you to Jericho. He wants you to be that obedient servant. He wants you to know that since I have blessed you, go bless somebody else. And I want to tell you something. The folks that know how to get other folks up are the ones who've been down themselves. Ah, you're going to talk to me in here. When you've been down yourself, when you know what it is to be down on your back and looking up, when you know what it's like to be in the hospital and the doctors have done all they could, and yet God raises you up, then you can help somebody as they travel along the way. Ah, the song says, my living shall not be in vain. When is the Lord showing up in these Jericho situations? He shows up when at least two folk, now it only had one that showed up for this particular need, but I believe that he told us to go two by two. Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible talked about going two by two. Now I got to learn that one, because I hate to ask somebody for help, but every now and then the load's going to get too heavy for you. The burden's going to get too hard for you. But when you got somebody else to tag team with, when you got somebody else that you can count on, then you can say, let's go out there and let's see what we can do. Y'all have watched wrestling, right? I know y'all religious folk, y'all don't watch wrestling. All right, but they got what they call a tag team match. And what the tag team match says, if you're being worn out in that match, all you got to do is get to the corner and tag your partner. I wish you'd tag a partner right now and say, wait a minute, I'm too weak to fight, but you get in there. Then by the time he's on the other one on the ropes, he got his strength back, ready to get in there. God wants to send us out as a team of missionaries. Who is my neighbor? I want to repaint Mr. Rogers' picture as I close today. It's a bad day in the neighborhood for some folk, but it's a good day to be a neighbor. It's a good day for you to say to that one that's wounded, I don't know all that I can do, but I'm going to do what I can. That's all God asks of you. Quit being so spiritual with your head up in the air. Talk about we love the Lord. Love somebody else. Help somebody else. Go to somebody else. Get on Jericho Road and watch God use you mightily. We are his church. And like a good neighbor, Jesus is always there. But if you're in Christ, you're also that good neighbor that he wants to use for his glory. Let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercy. Thank you for speaking to us as a church. Because, Lord, this COVID has gotten us to where we are hiding behind a mass of excuses. Where we're copping out when we should be checking in. Where we're saying no when we should be saying, I'll try. That's all you want is a willing heart. And all you want are hands that are willing to get a little bit dirty to help somebody else. Forgive us, Lord, for our complacency. And I pray that you send us out that we might serve and honor you. Bless us only you can. Empower your church to be a mighty church in Jesus. That we can help someone and let them know, hey, you're living in God's neighborhood. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give the invitation. And as I give the invitation, I want to tell you a short story of what happened to me the other day. My wife and I were trying to get this couch. Not couch, a little love seat. I don't know why they call it a love seat when one person's sitting there. Anyway, trying to get it in my daughter's house. And we had problems getting it through the door. And a person drove by. He glanced over, turned around, and came back. His name was Mark. And Mark, if you're listening, thank you for being a good neighbor. It's not the big stuff that you do. Sometimes it's the small things that you do every day that makes you a good neighbor. Leave here today with the thought in mind, I'm going to be a good neighbor. And Charlene, congratulations on winning the award as Fair Folks Award. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Lord, we ask that you would now touch the hearts of your people. If there's someone here today that does not know Christ, don't leave this church without him. Don't log off to your broadcast without turning your life over to Jesus. He wants to hear from you. Open your heart. Now, in here, we can walk down the aisle, but you're there. Send us an email or send us something on the website where we can pray with you and let you know what it means to be a Christian. Would you do that? Go to our website, crossroadbc.com, where you'll be able to find out more how to get in contact with us and how to become a real child of God and be a good neighbor. Is there one today? Is there one today? Amen. Y'all going to be a good neighbor this week? Going to find somebody that needs God's help. We're going to get ready for our closing. We're going to ask Reverend Kraft to come and dismiss us in prayer today. Give the Lord another hand as he comes. Oh, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Let's make the most of this wonderful day. Since we're together, we might as well pray. Would you be? Could you be? Won't you be my neighbor?
Happened last Sunday. I got this guy at work and he always messing with me, talking about me. And just so, and live up the street from me. And you're going to see where I'm going with this. I was sitting on the foot of the bed and I was putting my shoe on last Sunday and I listened to Reverend Noah Jones and he said, why don't you, instead of asking God to bless you, ask God to let you be a blessing to somebody. And this is how quick it happened. And you have to be careful what you ask for. I sit there and I ask the Lord, I said, okay, let me be a blessing to somebody today. I threw my coat on my arm, locked the door. I saw these little shoes come around the corner. I proceeded to the car and he said, Scotty! I said, oh my God. Exactly what I said. Oh my God. The Lord spoke to me immediately. He said, you ask to be a blessing to somebody today. So he was an enemy, but I had to be a blessing. He said, can you give me a ride to work? I said, yep. But before he even asked me for a ride, and I looked at him, I tried to speed up to the car. And it was just like he just, boom, right on my heels. The Lord said, you ask for this. You ask to be a blessing. That's why I'm saying when you ask God for something, be sincere. Amen. But I didn't know he was going to put that in my lap. But I'm glad he did. Yeah. You know why? Because had I pulled off and let him walk to work, something could have happened to him. Or the Lord could have called something to happen to my car and I not make it to the church last Sunday. But I thank God for being obedient. So what am I saying? We got to learn to be obedient to God. And whatever we ask him for, we got to believe it. And whatever he tells us to do, we got to be the good neighbor and be a good neighbor in the neighborhood. Whether it's your neighborhood or somebody else's neighborhood, we got to learn how to make an impact on somebody's life. Amen. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father, and our God. It's one more time, Father, you have allowed us to come this way to hear your word. But not only to hear your word, Father, but to take it into heart and to receive it and to go to work with it, Lord. Lord, we ask you, Father, to bless everyone here today, Lord. And as we begin to take our first step going out this building, Lord, let us walk out of here in safety. Father, keep hurt, harm, and danger from our path, Lord. And just, Father, as we begin our work week, Lord, just bless us to let us be our impact. Let us impress somebody whether by telling them that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Let us be an impact on somebody's life, Father, to let them know that he serve or she serve a God that can do anything, and I'm going to start serving that God too. Father, we pray, Lord, you dismiss us from this place. Keep us in your care and in your presence. Father, we pray for the pastor, Lord, as he continues to pour out his heart and speak to us, Lord. And Father, we pray that you continue to pour into him, Lord, that he may speak to us, Father, and allow us to open our hearts to receive it. Father, we pray, Lord, actually dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be a good neighbor. Amen.